Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
And me, not only because he loves us, but for the purpose, listen, of also sharing the truth that saved us with a whole world of people.
For help and hope from God's Word, visit In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley at intouch.org.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this Friday the 13th, 2023. And tonight we have in our booth none other than Lenny in the glass cage. And he's busy doing his job, working on the phones. And then we have two callers from Texas tonight. One, way out there, he's the legendary, the man of renown, none other than Chaplain John McTernan.
Well, hello, Pastor Ernie. God bless you and all of our listeners.
And also, we should have with us here any minute now, Dr. Steve Messick should be coming up with us right now. I believe he's on the phone now.
And yes. So,
is that Dr. Steve? Okay. Are you there, Steve? Okay.
This is he.
All right, fellas, we're going to start. Here's our scripture for tonight, and that is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 1 through 6. And, John, if you'd like to read that now. The reason for tonight's scripture is here in Ohio, as you know, we have a major battle going on over Issue 1. Issue 1 is right from the pit of hell. It's like if you went down and you knocked on the doors of hell and you says, write up an amendment to the Constitution that will destroy families, that will kill babies, that will pervert children. We want something right from the pit of hell, and that's what they gave us, Issue 1. The ACLU was behind the wording. Now, they're running ads on television here with these apostate preachers. One of them's name is Ahrens. He's a United Church of the Antichrist, where that church is right here. They're located right here. Their headquarters is right here in Cleveland. And they are churches of Satan. They claim to be a Christian church, yet whatever, you know, if you could invent a brand new sin tonight, they would, by tomorrow, they would have it. It would be in their mission statement. It would be in their mission statement by tomorrow. And so this is, we're going to take a read at these apostates. So, John, if you would read from verses 1 through 6, and then Steve, if you would read verses 12 through 15. So go ahead, John.
Mr. Ernie, I didn't hear the scripture.
It's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 through 6.
Okay. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, that serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might bear well with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things.
Alrighty, so here, you know, in verse 2, when he says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to another husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So the Apostle Paul here is presenting himself as like the father over the church at Corinth, and the church itself, the assembly, as his daughter in the Lord, as the body of Christ. And then he says, but I fear lest by any... By the way, you guys just jump in, Steve. If you have a question or comment, just jump in. But I fear by lest any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, you'll hear people say today, the apostate church, that they're Christ. They have a whole different Jesus than we do. Their Jesus is tolerant. He is non-judgmental. He allows you to live any way you want, and he doesn't judge you. Now, when it comes to sin, when it comes to the sins of abortion, when it comes to the sins of sodomy, all of the things that the United Church of the Antichrist embrace, this apostate errands that they embrace, these people are right from the pit of hell. Was there any man that ever walked the face of the earth, okay, that was less tolerant when it came to sin? When a woman was caught in adultery, did he tell her, well, go and don't sin so much? Or did he say something different?
Yeah, he said, go and sin no more.
So
I think that you're absolutely right about this issue. I don't understand it where, you know, we have this new woke movement and, you know, they've taken over the corporations, you know, like Disney, just pretty much every corporation. Of course, they have our, you know, the America's College and University, even the public school system. But now you hear about, you know, churches going woke. And, you know, even in more traditional churches, you know, that you see this movement percolating in the Southern Baptist convention, and you know, people willing to compromise, you know, just take about marriage. You know, this is an institution created by God Almighty, and it cannot be redefined. We have to go by what the Scripture says, and it's like, oh, how many people? I mean, if you're not going to defend marriage, you know, motherhood, fatherhood, and the home, then what are you going to take a stand on and defend? And, you know, people giving in so much ground, we just have to take a stand. It's like, you know, thus saith the Lord, we're going to stand on this. So this, you're right. You're very, 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 it's very much of a concern where we see corruption. We're supposed to be a virgin, pure and holy, and possessing the mind of Christ, which you get through the Scripture. But instead, you know, people are being having the worldview formed by, you know, entertainment and, you know, or just take a lot of young people. I mean, parents send their kids off to school and they come back, don't even know who their kids are. They've been thoroughly brainwashed by the, you know, college university system. And we need to do better to purify the church and our homes.
Steve, 50 years ago, I was on the radio in front of the mic here telling people, if you love your children, get them out of the public school. If you love them, get them out of there. Get them out of there now. In fact, I was one of the pioneers that started a homeschooling movement here in Ohio 50 years ago. And here, you know,
we have this legislative thing where they're trying to do, you know, school choice. And of course, the public schools are against it. You know, we need to keep our funding in our public schools. And my point of view is, like, we got a problem. You know, the education, the teachers unions, or the teachers associations, they are far left. They're the most reliable left-wing Democrat.
They're communist to the born. They're communist.
Yeah. They're lobbyists for the left. CRT. I just saw this thing. We had this organization called the Texas Scorecard. And they're doing an investigation of how much CRT we have. You know, they're trying to pass legislation against it, but they're trying to go against the rules to teach this garbage, this critical race theory. What is it? It's a Marxist theory. And I've worked as a substitute teacher, and you know, you see it. It's like, wow, this is a left-wing propaganda factory. Everything, the whole curriculum, everything around there is left-wing. And yeah, we need to take a stand. I think school choice is a good option to break the power of the public school system. With school choice, you can take the funding and send your kids. You know, the money follows the child, so you can send your kids to private school, you can homeschool with that money, or you can send to a Christian school. And of course, they don't want this Marxist, you know, system doesn't want parents to have choice. You know, they don't want to do homeschooling. Actually, Biden right now, he's got our border open, you know, probably tens of thousands of, you know, Chinese spies and Islamist terrorists. He's deporting a homeschooling family from Germany.
Yeah, I know.
Because they're that much opposed to homeschooling because they want to have you, they want their tentacles around your kids so they can, you know, indoctrinate them in the Antichrist, Marxist, totalitarian world system. We have to oppose it by any means possible or necessary.
All right, going back to verse 4, it says, "For he cometh that preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with it." Well, that word bear is a different meaning than what we normally think of today. Normally, if you bear, it means you're holding something. That means to push against. You might well push against him, okay, those that come preaching another gospel. But, Steve, go ahead and read verses 12 through 15.
12 through 15, all right. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to regard just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. I say again, let no one think me a fool. Otherwise, if at least receive me as a fool, that may boast a little.
Okay, so here now, he says, "But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion for them that desire occasion." We have these apostate preachers that I remember we had a situation here in Cleveland and where you had the mayor had asked they were going to whether or not he wanted to hear from the pastors whether they should open city council meetings with a prayer or not. So he invited a number of pastors, those from the biblical churches and then those from the apostate church. Well, of course, it was right down the line. Those of us who believe in prayer said, yes, we should open in prayer. God, that's not a suggestion. We're to pray ceasingly, without ceasing. Of course, the apostate church says, no, that if you open each meeting in prayer, you offend non-believers, okay? Well, you see, those fools offended God, and they do that. They offend God every day. This Aaron, who is making these commercials for issue one, who is promoting everything that God's word, the Bible, calls sin, whether it's abortion, whether it's sodomy, euthanasia, whatever it is, if it's a sin, these people embrace it. And here, when he's saying over here, but I do that what I do, that I cut off occasion, the Apostle Paul is saying, like I told this Lutheran, apostate Lutheran, who wanted to, he didn't want prayer. You know, he wanted to embrace everything. He said, well, now, Brother Sanders, we know that we can agree to disagree because we're still brothers in the Lord. And I said, no, we're not, because we don't have the same fathers. You embrace everything that God calls sin, okay? Your father's the devil, and you know it. And with that, he hung his head down, had nothing more to say, and walked away.
Right.
And so
that earlier scripture, I think, is very important, because people can see, they create their own Jesus, right? It's not a Christ. It's not the Messiah from the Gospels. It's an idea who they think he should really be. But we should let the scripture speak to us. That's who Christ truly is. And in the Gospel, what is it? It begins with repentance. It's about being born again. And it's like, are we preaching the gospel? Are we calling people to repentance and salvation? And that's one thing they'll try to do. It's like, oh, well, you know, Jesus went to the publicans and the sinners and the prostitutes. Yes, to call them to holiness, to call them to repentance, you know, and compassion and love, you know, to not to, like you said, not to encourage them in their sin, you know, but to call them to change of life, to call them to be born again. But a lot of people want to do that. It's just, you know, to call people to sin, to repentance, not call sin, to affirm people in their unrighteousness. But, you know, what's the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're obligated to preach the gospel of repentance. If we're not preaching that, then we're not preaching a true gospel.
All right, and so we're to be a watchman on the wall, and we're to warn the people. And that's what, as the Apostle Paul is here, he says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. I led up the first Operation Rescue here in Ohio some years ago, and they had an apostate preacher. His job was to convince these women that came in there that they were doing nothing wrong by killing their babies. And so I went over there, and I mean, I put my face 6 inches from his, and I preached him on hellfire. I preached him on, I said, you know, and Lord Jesus, when he warned the religious leaders, you know what you're doing. You're purposely leading these people right to the, you know, Matthew 23 makes it very, very clear. Not only will they keep these people from entering into heaven, but you are leading these people right to the lake of fire.
Right.
And this guy, I mean, this fellow sat there, and all of a sudden he just jumped up and he screamed, I can't take it anymore. I just can't take it. I don't know what to think anymore. And he ran away. So they're with their apostate preacher.
Right. Well, no one in the Bible preached more about hell than Jesus Christ, our Savior himself. And Paul rarely mentions hellfire. He talks about judgment, but not, you know, Paul's not much of a hellfire and brimstone teacher. John's writings are. So this is what Christ, the Messiah, taught. He warned people at hell. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I mean, how many people actually preach against, you know, hell? It's like, oh, we have these Joel Osteen preachers, and I don't know, I'm not saying everything he says is bad, but does he talk about to warn people about judgment to come, or call them repentance, or warn them about the reality of hell? Actually, this is interesting. My father had this video that his father, John Osteen, had made. It was like a dramatic presentation. I think it was it Kenneth Copeland? Anyway, he was a major evangelist who had a near-death experience where he was going into hell. And, you know, John Osteen had put a video out there. He had, you know, this is a message this person had. This person died, was going to hell. And then he, you know, became born again, gave his life to ministry, became an evangelist. You can't find that video anymore. Joel doesn't want to put that out.
No, he doesn't.
There's the difference between John Osteen and Joel Osteen. Joel's like, I mean, it's like, where is it? My dad's trying to get a copy of that video. It's not available anymore. Because Joel doesn't share the vision of his father.
Well, I was told by someone that knew them that it was influenced by his wife and his mother to go the prosperity, to grab it and stab it and name it and claim it. You know, now I've watched Joe. He'll hold the Bible up and he'll say, this is the word of God, but I've never heard him read out of it. Not one time have I ever seen him read out of it.
I remember, this is kind of, you know, I have a friend, she's an Arab Christian, and she had a friend who's a Muslim. And her friend, this Muslim friend, says, oh, you're from Houston now. Oh, I listen to Joel Osteen. And this woman's watching Joel Osteen, and she had no idea what the gospel was as a Muslim.
Well, no, yeah. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? It's,
he's affirming, like I say, he's affirming her. I mean, he's not confronting her with the gospel.
Well, no, remember when he was on Larry King's show, and Larry King says, Joel, you mean to tell us that only Christians can go to heaven, that Jews and Muslims, if they're not saved, they can't go to heaven? And he said, well, Larry, I guess if your God is a good God, you can get there. Well, boom, that hit Joel in the offering plate. Even the people that attended his country club and his entertainment center, they even knew that. It was even too much for them. So right away, he had to get back on Larry King. He told Larry, Larry, I got to get back on you. Man, you hit me in the offering plate. So Larry let him back on. He comes on and he says, you know, Larry, when you asked me that question, I was a young preacher. And he said, I made a lot of mistakes. But now, he said, I'm absolutely sure you must be born again. You must be a Christian to go to heaven. Right. So Larry let him come back on, you know, to save the money. But you know where it comes, where it comes to these prosperity preachers, and even McTurner will have to agree. I think there's none greater than Jesse Duplantis, because I heard Jesse Duplantis say that God calls on him, for advice. I heard Jesse Duplantis say that God calls on him for advice. Do you hear me?
Wow.
So, I mean, that Jesse must have something going for himself, huh?
Well, that's a very arrogant statement, isn't it?
Yeah, I never heard that one. I've heard a lot, but not that one.
Look at Solomon. His wisdom failed him in the end because he compromised because of the lips of the flesh.
That is really... You're talking about telling a whopper, okay?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we got, like, what was it? John Hagee was saying all Jews are saved by being Jewish. That's not true. There's only one name under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus.
Absolutely.
They need their Messiah, too. And then we're talking about Rick Warren. What was he doing? He's putting Qurans in his, preaching Chrislam.
Chrislam, yeah. Yeah.
What fellowship does light have with darkness? I mean, they deny the crucifixion.
Well, Rick Warren and Obama were thick as thieves. And I remember, here's what we did here. When Obama was running and he was over his Saddleback, him and Rick Warren, they said, you know, as far as we're concerned, marriage is only between a man and a woman. That's what they said. Both of them. Now, I said right then, that very day, I said, look, that'll change as soon as, if Obama gets in, as soon as he's in office, that'll change. It changed the very day he was in office, with Rick Warren too.
How can you compromise on that? I mean,
so
Jesus said no divorce. Jesus is his first miracle was at a marriage. He quotes the scripture: "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife; they should become one flesh." God made them male and female. So that's what, Jesus affirms this. So, I mean, to speak against marriage, family, and the home is to speak against this Antichrist. And then people, well, Jesus said, yeah, love, you know, God more than father and mother. Well, of course you should. But Jesus wasn't anti-family. I mean, the last thing, you know, before he died on the cross, he was thinking about providing for his mother. So that's just, you know, they try to warp and twist things. And we have to stand up for the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and talk about Antichrist. I mean, I'm finally, President Trump is saying it, you know. Obama's still running the country.
Yeah, he's right. He is. Obama is an Antichrist. And so, I mean, there's more. If you were to say today who would be a candidate for the Antichrist, there would be more pointing towards Obama as a good candidate. His name is in the Bible at more than one place. You know, the limousine he had made for himself was called the Beast. The day he won the primary or the election, actually, the winning lottery number was 666. His zip code where he in his office 666-0606. I mean, there's so much. We went through his names in Isaiah 14 and also in Luke chapter 10. I mean, not only that, but, do you remember what Obama said? He said, "I am the one that you have been waiting for. I am the one that I've been waiting for." And then he said, "Jesus Christ is a Messiah. He's a Savior, but he's only one of many Saviors." You know, Oprah, she's one. She said she's the source of her own salvation.
So,
but, you know, one of the slickest ones out there was Reverend Ike, John. Remember Reverend Ike?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, I remember Reverend Ike, and he used to be able to get people to give up all their money.
Well,
I remember watching him one day, and he said he didn't want to hear any change. He didn't want to hear any change when they were given money.
Well, he had the simplicity of when he took an offering and tithing. He passed the offering plate. Once it was filled, he said, "Here's what we do. We throw this up in the air. Whatever stays up there belongs to God. Whatever comes down belongs to me."
And, I didn't see that.
And people would look up to see what's going to stay up there, okay? But remember how he used to say, "Not everybody can live sumptuously. Not everybody can have a yacht. Not everybody can have a mansion. I'm doing this not for me. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing it for you because I know you can't do it, and that's why I'm living that way for you. I'm living sumptuously for you." People would say, "Do it for me, Reverend. Do it for me."
We have that. I was thinking about how, you know, Paul writes, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Like, part of the problem we have down here with this big Colony Ridge disaster.
Well, hang tight on that because we're up against the break. We'll be back right after this.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they woke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, "We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back." Anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna.
cause is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more flack. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore.
No, we're not going to take it anymore. Some of us here haven't been taking it at all. We've been fighting back from day one. And tonight we have, of course, we have, it's Friday night, our spectacular co-host, Chaplain John McTernan. Special guest tonight is Dr. Steve Messick. And these fellas are going to tell us what is happening at a place called Colony Ridge, Texas. Take it away, fellas.
Well, Pastor Ernie, I'll just give a little lead in, and then, Dr. Steve has been here for, I guess, all his life. He knows what's going on. But I began hearing from pastors about 6 months ago that there was this place, Colony Ridge, and there was things going on. They heard from the police that they were very concerned going in there. It looked like drug cartels were freely operating. It was a real bad area. And then it started to hit the newspapers about it. And from there, Dr. Steve, we were talking about me speaking in his church, and I happened to mention to him, does he know about it up there? And he knows everything about it. So I can't think of anybody better to explain the ins and outs of what's going on there. It's only 10 miles north of where I live, Pastor Ernie. So, Dr. Steve, please fill us in on what's going on.
All right. So we actually have one of our members that lives very, very close to Colony Ridge. And if you're in the, of course, I'm my congregation, where our church is at in Cleveland, Texas, which is, you got the big Bush Intercontinental Airport, so you're going on Highway 59, about 30 miles north of Bush Intercontinental Airport, you get to Cleveland, Texas. And about 10 miles south, so this would be 20 miles from the airport and 1960 and Highway 59, you have Splendora. And the country road from Splendora to Cleveland, there's a town called, a small country town called Plum Grove. And so what happened is this land developer, he's a shady character named Trey Harris, and basically he's created a place for, you know, working. Apparently the cartels are there, the Gulf and the Sinaloa cartels, and it's a hub for illegal aliens to settle, and they don't have to have a social security number, they don't have to have a credit check. It's they get this like a tax ID number, which anybody can get. No credit check, nothing like that. They just go in there, and it's a shanty town. You know, I went over there. I've done international missions work. I've been to, I love these countries and cultures, but it's, you know, you see extreme poverty, like in India or in Africa, where I've done mission work. And you go down that area, and you know, it looks like you're in the third world. It's a third world shanty town. It's dangerous. There's a lot of, according to news reports that I've seen, they've found, you know, several times bodies of kids, boys and girls, 15 years old. And now, just riddled with bullets. And now we got, I think they had 15 overdoses at Cleveland Independent School District from fentanyl. So there's one of the biggest marijuana and marijuana crops and meth labs in the countries here in Colony Ridge. And, prostitution, human trafficking, is and then the place is a squalor. It wasn't properly developed. There's like pollution. The drainage system is all wrong. It causes flooding and other problems. There's like in the public waters. You have human waste being pumped into it. These people have, they're just squatting. When they started, these sometimes these people would just take clotheslines and hang them between trees, hang up a bed sheet, and that would be their residence. So shacks, tents, lean-tos, you know, you see people just living in unbelievable poverty over there. And then they have no rights, and they're being exploited. It's horrible. And this started in about 2013, but it's really started getting big in about 2016, 2017. And now it's grown to 75,000 people. Almost all of them are migrants and undocumented illegal aliens. And it's expected to grow to, within the next 5 to 10 years, 250,000 people. And it's really causing a lot of problems for infrastructure. And there's like an unholy triumvirate, these three people, like an unholy trinity, is working to create this. And that's the land developer, Trey Harris. And then you have our state legislature, legislator. His name is Ernest Bales. He's in on this thing. And then the county judge, the county judge isn't really a judge. He's like a mayor of the county. That's just what they call it here in Texas. His name is Jay Knights. And they see it as, they're trying to flip this area from red to blue. That's one of the things they're trying to do. Because this Ernest Bales guy, people need to know. It's kind of amazing. He puts these big signs. When it's election time, he puts these big signs up, says conservative Republican. But he votes with the in the Capitol, he votes with the Democrats and keeps them in power. And one of the things that really is, I mean, there's many, many things that offends me that he's done. But when he campaigned, he's like, oh, I'm pro-life. And his first term in office, he is passing, well, he is supporting pro-abortion legislation. He's working with the Democrats to, you know, create exceptions. You know, the Bible says God created us in his image, says thou shalt not kill, and abortion is wrong. It's the taking of an innocent human life, and we can't compromise on it. It doesn't matter if it's rape or incest or whatever. There's all kinds of people who adopt children, can't take it. It's not that child's fault how it was, you know, it's parentage. We can't make exceptions for, it's taking human life is wrong, and here he is in Austin, you know, supporting. He was exposed. He got like a 42. He got a 42 for his pro-life record. So he's failing from Texas Right to Life. This is the largest growing school district. This is the largest growing hub of illegal immigration in the country. And the schools, the teachers unions, they love it. Because they're going to build these big schools. They're going to make money through education. They're right now, they're trying to pass another $275 million school bond. Every time you turn around, they're passing a new school bond. But in a sense, you know, they got to educate these foreign nationals. They were obligated to do it. And the schools, I was talking to students to go there. It's difficult to walk through the halls because the students just crammed in there. And I went to the pastors alliance, you know, minister alliance meeting. And in 2017, Ernest Bales comes because people are concerned about it. People in the community, your average citizen, they don't want this going on in their community. Crime and just the, you know, we had back in May, we had somebody who's obviously a cartel member, a sicario. He was at my church. I was at the church that night, and there was a man running around. Executing little children, men and women, just 2 miles from where the church is. And they didn't find that man. He's running around the community for like a whole week. And that's what's going to happen when you have cartel activity like that. That's what happens. Crime, murder, drugs, the whole thing. And then speaking of that, I knew this pastor in Splendora. I would go and preach to his church, and people have lived, their family's been in this community for generations. They have to leave because you just can't, it's because really bad. It's destroying this community. And, you know, people moving out. It's, you know, I ran for Texas State Legislature last election cycle against Bales. Unfortunately, he was reelected. But one of the things that's been very frustrating with the whole Colony Ridge thing is people weren't really talking about it until the Daily Wire carried a story in September 15th. The Daily Wire published a story on Colony Ridge, and finally, people are actually talking about what's going on, because our cries for help and distress have been falling on deaf ears for years. And like I said, there's people are trying to, they're exploiting this, especially the schools, because they can get money out of it. You know, the movers and shakers are getting, they're getting bought off by Trey Harris. I'll give you an example that like the land inspector, he's signing off on everything that, that Trey Harris is doing in this community. And his daughter is the district attorney, and her husband's like a constable running the police department. So it's very, very corrupt. And there's here in the Houston area, this guy was on for a long time. We had Wayne Dolciafino. He was an investigative reporter for, I guess it's ABC News, Channel 13. And he did two reports that you can find on YouTube about Colony Ridge. And he did these like a couple of years ago. One's called The Sounds of Silence, because it's the frustrating thing. It's like, this is horrible what's going on in our community, and we need to stop it. And he himself came here and he did this video, and, you know, this people don't want to hear about it. They just want this to they're being corrupted by Trey Harris and what he's doing, trying to enrich themselves, you know, hurting our community, exploiting these illegal aliens. Then he did another one called Stabbed in the Back. I recommend anybody's concerned about what's going on with this to check out those two videos. And then there's a man, I think his name is Todd Benzman. Right when that killing, we had the Sicario guy, the cartel guy going around killing men, women, and children. He published a story on, he has a book coming out about the immigration crisis. I worked on the border with the National Guard. I was on the border for 3 years. And Trump solved the border problem. The whole issue that we have is they have this catch and release thing. So what happens? They just walk across the border and they're processed. They make a fraudulent asylum claim and then they're just released. They're given a court date for, you know, 2 to 5 years or 7 years in the future that they're never going to go to, and they just release the public. So all you have to do is stay in America the rest of your life and just walk across the border. So what Trump did, that's called the catch and release thing, was called the Flores Agreement. Just catches and release. So Trump wanted to put an end to this border crisis because, I mean, as long as that's an incentive, as long as you have catch and release, as long as you have the Flores Agreement, you're going to have, like we have right now, you're going to have 250,000 people. You got the migrant courts where it's just coming across the border. So he did remain in Mexico. So what's going on? They cross the border. Oh, I mean, they're lying. I'm a refugee and, you know, blah, blah, blah. They said, okay, we're going to give you a court date for 2 years in the future, and you're going to have to remain in Mexico. And when your court date comes up, come on across and you'll hear it. Well, they just go back home, you know. And there's a couple other things that people don't know about the border. You cannot, I've been there for 3 years and it's horrific. You try to tell people, they just can't believe what's going on. And the media doesn't really report it. People have no idea. I'm not a big fan of RFK because he's pro-abortion, but he's a more moderate Democrat. He actually went there. And he was like, oh, we need to have an open border, blah, blah, blah. Then he went and saw what's going on for himself. These aren't just Hispanic, you know, poor Hispanics. They're people from all over the world, Africa, China, the Middle East, you know, Persia, Turkey, just people from the whole world flying to Mexico to walk across the border and get to stay in America the rest of their life, living off the taxpayers' largesse. That's, you know, and they pay, each one of these people pays the Mexican drug cartels $10,000 under Biden. Can you imagine? The cartels down there are making trillions of dollars. Just think about it. How many illegal aliens? Just do the math. We probably have, they're admitting we've had 8 to 9 illegal aliens coming across the border under Biden. You know, times $10,000 a head. How much is the cartel making through that?
Steve, it's called pay to play. Steve, let me just tell you. I want you to go back here. All the way back to 2020, and we were telling people there, 2020, you know, I sat and I listened to Chinese generals telling a huge crowd of these students, these college students and the young military, how they owned the top people in the very highest office in the United States were owned by the Chinese. They were laughing that we own them. They're basically, they're on our payroll. Now, everybody thinks somehow that, well, for example, in Afghanistan, they're using those weapons now in Afghanistan. Right now, Hamas is using those very same weapons against our people in Israel. But people think that Biden gave those. No, the Biden crime family doesn't give anybody anything. There's money, always money coming back, always money coming back. It's just like Ukraine. We had a list of the people from Ukrainian, from one of the Ukrainian diplomats that came over there. He managed to get a list of all of the money that was kicked back, and is kicked back to both sides of the aisles here too. Not just to the Democrats, but Biden got the most. $98 million was kicked back. Mitch McConnell got a big chunk too, 88 something. But anyhow,
think about it. They're charging Trump with bogus crimes and they're letting the Bidens get away with, you know, tens of millions of dollars. I want to make one more comment about the border. And they used to say like 20% of these women are being raped. And it's probably now, as bad as it is, probably every single woman that's coming across, well, you're in danger yourself. You're going to be raped, especially if you're young, good-looking woman or just moderately attractive crossing the border. You pay the cartel, they're going to rape you. It's going to happen. And actually, our soldiers, there's nothing you can do about it. You can see across the river, they have they call it the rape tree, where they line up, they're about to take the people across the border. They get all the women, they line them up, they rape them one by one, extracting their final payment before they cross the border. It's like, no, that's not going on. It is going on. It's horrific. And, the media doesn't want to. RFK, he saw that for himself. And then before they ended catch and release and did the remain in Mexico, they built these giant tents to house all these, the illegal aliens, people cross the border illegally. And I'm in there because, as a chaplain, I'm ministering to my soldiers. And I was surprised at how many, like you're saying, Chinese people. It's like, well, there's a lot of Chinese people in here. So this is not just people from Hispanic countries like, Costa Rica and Honduras and Ecuador and all that, Guatemala. This is
45,000 Chinese nationals, which virtually plainclothes soldiers.
Yeah. Well, how many people have come from the Middle East? Tens of thousands. And that's something to be very, very concerned about. About this $6 billion, I can't believe it. That's Obama doing that, because when he was president, he's just giving Iran billions of dollars all the time. So supposedly, there's a pretense of a prisoner exchange or whatever, hostage exchange. Biden gives Iran $6 billion. Immediately, once Iran gets the billion, this doesn't get reported, but Turks in Azerbaijan start killing and ethnically cleansing Armenian and Assyrian Christians. As soon as that money, and that's a Muslim nation that borders Iran, and there's actually... there's a province of Iran called Azerbaijan. Azerbaijans are Turks. 100 years ago, you had the Armenian genocide. And it's going on right now. They went in the Nagorno-Karabakh area. It's like, what motivated them to do that? The $6 billion. Then what happened? The week after that, Assyrian Aramaic-speaking Assyrian Christians in northern Iraq, they're having a big, there's 1,000 people in a big, doing a marriage and a wedding hall. And there's just a huge explosion. And the locals there, I have contacts over there, they think it's Iranian militia. 100 people killed. And then a week after that, what happens? On October 7th, the 50th year anniversary of the Yom Kippur War. Of course, Yom Kippur this year is earlier because the Jewish calendar is a solar lunar hybrid calendar. But for the Muslims, they call it the October War. So October 7th, on Shemoni Atzeret, the last day of the Feast of Sukkot or Tabernacles, the invasion attacks. And, it's got to be related. But the thing is, they've been training for this invasion for 2 years. You can't just all of a sudden do that. They need the funding, the $6 billion. But they've been planning and preparing for this for 2 years. So, and we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. This is really awful what's going on.
To say that they didn't, that somehow this got by our intelligence and Israeli intelligence is ludicrous. They knew this. They were very, very, very well aware of that. And right here, the last time we counted, right here in America, the last count that we had, we sent out probably 300 DVDs showing you that right here in America you had Islamic jihadist training camps here in America. And that was the last count was like 90.
Right. Right. Well, it's any day. I hope it does. I don't want to see anybody suffer or die, but you know, they've created this environment for, you know, an imminent terrorist attack that could, you know, could be worse than 9/11. You know, God help us. I don't want to see that happen, but it seems like it's inevitable at this point, especially with the open border and, you know, 9 million illegal aliens crossing. So, yeah, we need to pray. We need to be honest about what's going on. And,
well, since 1980, a lot of people don't understand this. Since back in the 80s, their goal back then, we talked about it back in the 80s, their goal was to bring in 50 million illegals, okay? That was to bring into the United States, to turn the United States completely communist Marxist, okay?
Right.
And right now, they brought in, right now, there's actually 50 million in here right now on
Earth. That's what they, for the longest time, they're saying 12 million. It's like, well, millions are coming across every year. You know, we got legal and illegal. Why are you saying it's 12 million all the time? Then they say 20 million. We're probably going to have 20 million come across just during this miserable the Biden regime. So we're probably looking at 60 million or more illegal aliens here, you know, now.
We had, all the way back in the 80s and 90s, I had Pat Buchanan on the program, and he was running for president, and he was saying then, when they were saying it was 11 million then, he was saying, no, you can figure it's at least, back then it was at least over 20 million, at least.
Right.
And that's back then.
So, you know, Trump won the election in 2020, and they part of the reason why they stole it from, they don't want the border secure. And part of the reason I think that we have this just free for all there is because they don't know if they're going to be able to steal it in 2024. So they got to do as much damage in the time they have. Who knows? So this is going to be a very, very difficult year next year. We need to pray. It's sad. I love my country. I'm very patriotic. But it's like if we don't have a change of administration, we don't end this. I don't see our nation surviving as a free country.
Well, Joe Biden's job was to keep the border open, to keep an influx of both Chinese, but also a good supply. Look, here in this country, the Democratic Party is flush. It's absolutely flush with pedophiles. Yep. Anybody that's anybody within the party out there today is involved in that, one way or the other. Now, either the child selling, the buying here, right here in Ohio, they just had a bust, and praise the good Lord that 20 children were, or not 20, 100 children were just found and released. Okay. And 160 Democrats were charged with human trafficking.
And just so to show how bad it is, it's Disney bought Fox. Fox had made The Sound of Freedom. And Disney had no intention of releasing that movie because they're a big pedophile company.
Oh, yeah.
And then I guess Angel Studios bought Sound of Freedom from Disney to release it to the public. And then, you know, the media, this is a conspiracy theory. This isn't true. Don't watch this movie. And it is true. It's probably much, much worse than the movie shows it out to be. It's supposed to be, I remember they're interrogating Alex Jones. He goes, you got these bizarre conspiracy theories that leftists or have a, you know, child sex trafficking ring. And he goes, yeah, you mean like Epstein Island? I was like, and the judge just had a blank expression on her face because she can't deny it. What was that? It's like anybody that's anybody in the, you know, movers and shakers going to that. It's horrible. They had minor children there. And the FBI is covering that stuff up. Just like you had that transgender woman went into, you know, in Nashville where I grew up, shoots up a church and a church school, and they cover up her manifesto because the FBI has got a political agenda. They don't want people to know, you know, how dangerous the transgender movement is. So, and speaking of, that's another thing. I mean, this look at our, you know, people think if Texas is a red state, you know, and look at our house right now, the Texas House, it's incredible. Voting to impeach Ken Paxton. Why? Because the Biden administration told the Texas House to do it. It's
Hang tight. House. We're up against a hard break. We will be back right after this with a whole lot more. So don't go away. More to come.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.